You're listening to Treasuring Mothers with your host, Jenny Baxter.
And my guest in the studio is Bernadette Black. Bernie was nominated to be Tasmanian Australian of the Year, and she found out at the end of 2018 that she was successful. So wonderful. That must have felt amazing, Bernie.
I am just so excited. I still don't know who nominated me for the Tasmanian Australian of the Year. And then turning up on the day, you never think that you're going to hear your name called. And I remember turning around to my daughter and hugging her like crazy when I did hear my name called. And she said to me, Mum, you've got to let go. Seriously, you've got to let go. They're waiting for you. They're still waiting for you. You've got to let go. And so it really was such a genuine surprise. And I think just to have that thought that one person in the community appreciates what you've done so much to nominate you for something like the Tasmanian Australian of the Year is incredible. And so it was beautiful. And I'm, you know, very humbled and hope to be a great ambassador for our state and also custodian of the award for the next 12 months.
Yes. So you got this amazing award, but what did you get it for?
Oh, I know. Oh, it's been the long overnight 12-year success. And so some people will say to me now, oh my goodness, I've just heard of Brave Foundation, which is a charity I started and founded. And that was in 2009. I wrote a book about my own journey of being a teenage mother in 2006. And so I had my son, Damien, when I was 16, and he's now 25 years old.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, it is just incredible. And when I was a teen mum or expecting teen, I looked for help and it was really difficult to be able to find. And I made myself three promises at the end of my pregnancy, and the first to be a good mum, hardly knew how I was going to do it and hardly held a baby. Second was to finish my education, and the third was to one day write a pamphlet or something to help other young women in the same situation as me. And I had a teacher say to me in my pregnancy when things did look pretty hopeless and were pretty darn tough. And he said, you know what, the journey might be different, but the destination can stay the same. And hearing those words from Mr. Shill, he saw who I was as a person, not the situation happening to me. And then that helped me to be able to create those three promises. And then in my lifetime, which I thought maybe I wouldn't see them, Jenny, I've been able to see them come to pass. But with this huge charity now, which is national, and it's in Northern Territory, Ipswich and Logan, it's in Newcastle, in Sydney, it's in Greater Melbourne and Geelong region, and in the Greater Hobart region. So it's been quite a big journey, and lots of highs, lots of lows. The stigma and discrimination I faced as a girl, myself as a teenager going through it, changing that culture and creating that culture to change a nation for generations has not been an easy task, but gee whiz, it's been so worth it. And just to see, I have the wonderful privilege of seeing the beautiful letters that will come through of the young people that we help. And when they can get back to education, or that their child's healthy, or that they've been able to finish their VCE when they never thought that they could have done that, or TCE, is pretty amazing when you get that village of support around them.
Yeah, and I think that really highlights something, isn't it? That you can't do these things on your own.
No.
Some people do end up in difficult situations. We
yep.
all do at some point.
Yeah.
Very tempting to think, oh, I can battle this by myself. You can't do it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm still guilty of that. Sometimes that mindset myself as a 42-year-old woman and going through, you know, a particular crisis, and I'll think to myself, I can't, how am I going to manage this? What if I tell someone? And as soon as I share that with someone else, there's always an answer to a part of the solution that's waiting for me, always. And it was no different. It just takes that bravery to be able to ask and to be able to, you know, to say to someone, you know, what do you think? Me going to my year 10 year level coordinator and sharing with him this devastating news. Thank goodness I did that.
Yeah.
Because it probably changed the trajectory then of my life. And then I was able to create that village of support. Unfortunately, and for a lot of people in Australia and in Tasmania, we're in the most loneliest of times when we are so connected, we are so isolated. And it certainly happens with teen parents as well. And so the aim is that if these young parents, and sometimes they don't have any support, is that we actually have enough support in our communities to build a village of support around those young expecting or parenting teen. It's just being able to build that community capacity around that person so that that person knows what's in their community, and that our community know that that person might need some support.
Yeah.
And that's really important because, yeah, we cannot get through this life, you know, thinking that we have all of the answers, and we do need other people. We really do.
That's right. I mean, I hear that a lot with the isolation factor. In fact, the whole of Treasuring Mothers is based on that to some degree. And Bernie, being honest, what was a really difficult time for you during that time of teenage pregnancy?
Yeah. When I found out that I was pregnant, my dad went out into the middle of the road and screamed the news to everyone in a very embarrassing way. My mum was so sick because of the shock. I can remember when my tummy started to grow that all of my friends in my year level, we went to a party and they all, like in front of my eyes, walked away and started talking about me and pointing at me like you see in those movies. And, you know, and I couldn't cover up this growing belly at that point. And I was still wearing my Rip Curl pants and trying to fit them around my tummy. And I had a couple of good friends that stayed with me and we then left that party. It's hard when you're in a situation and, you know, and it's understandable that if all you're seeing and hearing is only negative, then your outcome can be. But it's that one positive voice, that one you can do it, that one friend that pats you on the back, that one next step that makes all the difference and can change the trajectory of your life. And my life is an example of that. So that was a very tough time. And I think that just the stigma and judgment of society when, you know, I was in a strict Catholic home. I had really good morals. This was my first boyfriend, the first time that we'd been together after 6 months, and this had happened. And at about 6 months of my pregnancy, I went to a pretty special makeup counter and saved up all my money that I'd saved, you know, from working at Wendy's, the ice cream shop. And the lady just looked at me and said, oh, baby's having babies. You can't afford this. And bus drivers, when you're trying to get on, you know, when I had Damien and was still recovering from the birth, so it was difficult even to walk. And thinking, how on earth am I going to get up these steps on the bus? And, you know, he looked perfect because the expectations I put on myself were so huge. And then I looked up at him and he said something so discriminatory that I almost couldn't get on the bus. I did. And thankfully I did, because that was one of my second promises was to finish my education, and that day I was going to the only adult education place that would accept me. So it was like every barrier that could have come down to stop me from having the promises that we talked about last time, achieving those, came down, but that was probably because of that stigma. And it's something I don't really understand, I guess, because when we can support someone that is in a vulnerable situation, then all you're going to see for a teenage mum, for example, is you're going to see them supported, that they might reach and they probably will reach their goals and dreams and aspirations. But not only that, their child then has a greater opportunity statistically of being able to have a great future as well. And that actually changes our nation and our state for generations. And so there is no win, but it has been a difficulty. And even being able to have this conversation, Jenny, you know, we met many years ago when we started talking about this, and so wonderful to meet someone brave enough to be able to say, let's have the conversation. Yeah. And that was, probably 2008, I think, 2007.
Probably around then,
yep. And so then it was so hard. People didn't want to talk about it. But now we're actually being able to have the conversation. And it's really just to have for these young people to have the same access to education and support as any other teenager or woman to get to the maternal and child health clinic in Australia and in our state. Teenage life is a gift. And that is actually what is to be cherished first and foremost, is that gift of a teenage life. But if something like this does happen, you need to know that you can be okay. Yes. You need to know that you can have support, and you need to know that your future and your child can actually have a great future, even going through perhaps a teenage pregnancy and then becoming a teenage parent. I think that in Australia, when we have these supports put around people that are most vulnerable, that no child in Australia should be subjected to a poor outcome because of their parents' situation.
Yeah.
If we can make sure those connections are there, the exact same opportunities as any other child that we may perceive has a stronger foundation as a family unit, perhaps.
Yeah.
But there should not be any difference for any child, I think,
no,
in our state.
No, that's right. You're listening to Treasuring Mothers, and today I have Bernadette Black in the studio with me. She's talking about how she became a mother as a teenager, finished her schooling, and has begun this amazing organisation called the Brave Foundation. So, Bernie, so good to have you in the studio. Tell me a bit about Brave.
Yeah, absolutely. So I made myself three promises, and the last one of those was to finish, to write a book or a pamphlet. I thought maybe a pamphlet to help other young people. I wrote my book, which was called Brave Little Bear, The Meaning of My Name, in 2006. And then after that book was launched, it actually was quite successful, and it was the first public story that had been told about teenage pregnancy and parenting. And then I had people calling me from Toowoomba, from Perth, from Burnie, from everywhere in Australia, from Melbourne, asking you know, where their daughter, where they could get support, where they themselves could get support, a student could get support that was going through this journey. And I, like, literally started picking up the phone saying, oh, look, hang on, I'll call you back. I'll just find out if you're in Geelong. I'll find out if there's a young mum's group, or I'll find out if there's a school that'll accept you. Mm. And then I would call them back and say, this is what I found out. And that started being a directory of services. And so I knew pretty soon after that in 2009 that this was growing beyond me just doing on the side of my desk, which I did volunteer for Brave for many, many years, and it was going to be a charity. So I sat with my husband and a great mate and the book How to Start a Not-for-Profit for Dummies in 2008 and then we started Brave Foundation and signed the constitution, and my goodness, how we've grown. We have an incredible skills mixed board. I've done my business and governance studies in the mix there as well, and I've been awarded a prize from Anglican Deaconess Ministries to attend a Harvard Kennedy course in Boston next year, which is called Women in Power. It's really wonderful. It's about leadership in a new age, which is really great. So I think that it's another element that surprised me is when you're passionate about something and passionate to serve other people, that then you see yourself equipped to be able to continue to serve people in where you want to see that passion aligned to help others. And that's been just brilliant. And that's been the story of Brave Foundation. So that now in 2019, that directory of services has 560 on its directory of organisations we refer to nationally. The federal government now licenses that because it's the only directory in Australia. We've been funded $4.4 million to implement a national trial, which is over 2 years, and we're doing that right now. It's been on the ground for 6 months, and that's the one that's being led from Northern Territory, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria and Tasmania. And we are seeing young parents being supported from pregnancy through to their child's first year of age with a mentor, and that they're able to make their own three promises, to have a plan on how to return to education or TAFE or whatever it might be, get to perinatal and maternal and child health checks, how to pack a nappy bag, you know, all of those things, getting to all the things that are important when you are a mum or when you are becoming one. And those, the feedback from that is just amazing. We're saving the federal government, I think it's $648,000 per teenage parent of actuarial costs, and 79% of teen parents, as just under 9,000 in Australia every year, are on long-term welfare. So when you look at that figure, it's quite a large figure, but at the moment we're saving the federal government $30.2 million per annum with the 60 teen parents that are already meeting their goals and their promises in their journey, which is, and you know, I don't really want to talk about the social economics of it, but it's been important because without being able to frame how supporting teen parents is important to everybody in our state and nation, and that it actually does make an impact, not just socially, which is what matters to me and to Brave Foundation, but economically as well. It's a pretty substantial business case, I think. So we're at the beginning still, and our aim is to make sure that we get into the pre-budget estimates. And so I'll be going to Canberra and speaking with both parties in February, so only in another month's time, and certainly hoping to get that bipartisan support and to make sure that we are truly national, extending into South Australia and Western Australia to that $4 million amount each year from 2020.
Oh, that would be so exciting.
It would be so exciting. Yeah. It would be very exciting. I look forward to it.
Well, congratulations on all your hard work.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's hard won, making big changes like this in our community, in our culture, doesn't happen overnight. And so, you know, hats off to you. You've really pushed into that space and well done.
And really, I have to say that there are, as there are with, I think, with anyone, but there's a team of champions that are behind me. And it's these champions that have been generous in opening up doors, those that will have been willing, like yourself, to have that conversation all those years ago, that that have actually thought, I'm going to have a listen to what she's saying and really think about how I might connect a dot there. Yep. And And that's the same for any of us. So if you know you have an idea or a passion or a hope to be able to serve others, to help others, to, you know, in your own community or whether it be national like Brave is doing, it always starts with one conversation and you just never know the champions that are waiting to have that conversation
with
you.
That's right. Yep, that's so good.
Yep.
Thank you so much for talking to me today, Bernie. And we'll have to catch up again.
I'd love that,
Jenny. In a while and just talk through some other things
because
I'm sure there's lots of other things that we can nut through.
Yep.
So that'd be great.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
And that was today's guest on Treasuring Mothers, Bernadette Black, the Tasmanian Australian of the Year for 2019. This is Jenny Baxter. And of course, if you would like to listen to the podcast again or catch up with parts one or two, head to treasuringmothers.com and look for the podcast tab. This is Jenny Baxter saying goodbye for now.
That's this week's episode of Treasuring Mothers. Don't forget to join us next week. Thank you for listening.